Good morning. First things first, I want to just tell you what a privilege and what a blessing it is for me to be allowed to be here to bring you God's Word. I'm just so grateful and thankful to Kent for thinking of me and working it out so I could be here with you today. Tell you how small this world really is. I came to the entry of your church there, and lo and behold, there's a man there that's from Warren, Illinois. It's about 10 miles from where I had my first call. So we are indeed a small family, and it's just kind of significant. Wherever we go, we find connections with other people. So I'm very glad to be here and bring you greetings from Faith Lutheran Church in Ottawa. And that's where I live and that's where I retired. Just a little bit about me. I was called into the ministry late in life and went to Lutheran Northwestern Theological Seminary in St. Paul, back when it was the old ALC, and we decided that we needed to leave ELCA back in 1999, and we ended up doing that and became affiliated with the AFLC, and it was one of the gladdest days of my life when I realized that there indeed was a church that believed like I did, and continued to preach and teach the truth. So hold on to your affiliation with the AFLC. Having said all those things, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, quiet our hearts. Help us to set aside every concern and every other issue and matter that would trouble us or take our attention. And by your Spirit, cause us to come to this word and open our hearts and minds to it. Bless each one who's here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have to tell you that as I came to the text today, Matthew 25, 1 through 13, I had talked with Kent earlier in the week, and Kent said, oh, we've departed a little bit from the pericopes, that's the lessons found in the book every year, and we've kind of done some different things. And he said, they'll read, you know, Craig will read the scripture, and you'll be able to read whatever you want. And I was led to Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Well, I didn't want to preach on Matthew 25, 13. I didn't want to do that, and the Lord kept convicting me, no, this is where I want you to preach. And as I'm going, Lord, are you sure? And do you really, really want me to preach from Matthew 25, 1 through 13? In fact, when I always mark the scripture in my Bible, it's all marked up. And I underline it, and I put these yellow marks on it for emphasis. And under Matthew 25, 1 through 13, there were no markings whatsoever in 30-plus years of marking my Bible. Well, imagine my amazement when I got to your lobby, and they gave me a bulletin, and the bulletin said, Matthew 25, 1 through 13. I just said, thank you, Lord, for confirming your word. You know, life is kind of filled with those little miracles from God. But I want to go, if you have your Bible with you, I want you to turn back to that scripture. It's kind of a curious scripture. It's a kind of a thing that's very unfamiliar to us. There are 10 virgins, and they have lamps, and they're waiting for the bridegroom. Now, that's not the way we do things. It's very curious. Why are they waiting? Why are they outside in the street? Why aren't they in the party? Well, to understand this, we need to understand the Jewish ceremony for marriage. In Palestine today, if you were to go there, and you were invited to a Jewish wedding, the bridegroom would be celebrating with his family. They would be gathered in the bridegroom's home. The bride would be with her family. And once the bridegroom was finished celebrating, then he would come down the street in an entourage, and the whole community, every single person in that village or that place, was invited to that celebration. And you had to be part of the entourage, or the part of the group, or part of the parade, because if you weren't, when they went into the hall and the doors were shut, no more. In other words, you had to be part of the wedding group to get there. And these maidens, these virgins, are sitting outside in the street at the place of gathering, and they're waiting for the bridegroom to come. And when he comes, they're going to be the happiest and most joyous, and the most wonderful time of their lives will be there. The biggest celebration of their lives will be there, and they will go in together with him. But one little key here is that you can't be outside in the Palestinian city at night without a light. You've got to have a light. And so, as we turn to the text, turn with me there to Matthew 25. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 maidens who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the maidens rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "Perhaps there will not be enough for us and for you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. And afterwards, the other maidens came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." why wouldn't I want to preach about this? Do you think you might have an idea why? Why wouldn't I want to talk about 10 virgins, the lamp, and their oil? Well, the reason, dear friends, is because in this text, there's the good news, and then there's the bad news. I don't know, which do you want first? You want the good news first? Well, the good news is that there is going to be a wedding feast, and we know that that is the time when we will be with Jesus, the Savior, the bridegroom, will be with him in heaven. There's going to be a time when there will be rejoicing and gladness and joy and justice and peace and love and justice and righteousness and goodness, and all of those things will be established on earth. That's going to happen. There's not going to be sin in the world anymore. There's going to come a day when God will indeed bring us with him. Do you want to go? Do you want to go? Say amen. 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 I want to go too. I want to go too. And this heaven that we think about, you know, I remember the story about the little boy who was met the preacher downtown one day, and he said, where's the post office? And the little boy said, well, it's down this block and over there, and it's on the opposite corner. And later that same week, the little boy was in Sunday school, and the pastor was talking about heaven, and he said, this is a place where we want to go. I mean, don't you want to go? And all the little kids raised their hand except this one little boy. And the preacher said, don't you want to go? We're all going. Don't you want to go? He said, yeah, Pastor, I want to go, but I'm not following you because you don't even know where the post office is. Believe me, we don't want to be left behind. We want to go to heaven. I preach about the second coming of Christ, and some of the folks that I ministered to said, Pastor, we don't want to hear about that. We don't want to hear about that. And I said, why on earth not? Well, I want to be around for my children to see them graduate. I want to be there when my children get married. Had any weddings here lately? I want to be there when my children, my grandchildren get baptized. I want to see my grandson's confirmation. And I want to see his championship football game. And I want to see my wife and I grow old together. And I like it here. And I like roast beef and mashed potatoes and turkey at Thanksgiving and Christmas trees and spring flowers and fall leaves. I like it here. And I don't want to hear about something that I don't know about. Well, the truth is, dear friends, we want to go to heaven. We want to go to a place where Jesus is. I don't care how well you like it here and how happy you are. Believe me, it has nothing, not even a candlelight, to what it will be like to be with Jesus Christ. There will be love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness, gentleness, and all of those things. And there will be love, true love. That's a place that five of these women were going to be. Well, here comes the bad news. The bad news is, dear friends, that there will be some who claim a relationship with Jesus who will not be included. There will be some, it is implied in this scripture, more than half, or at least half, of those claiming a relationship with Christ who will not be allowed to come in. In fact, that word says, I do not know you. I do not know you. And a warning that we need to be ready. That we need to be ready, and we need to stop fooling around and playing at church. And we need to begin to take it seriously. You see, we've drifted. I can remember when I was called of the Lord back in the 60s, people filled the church. The pews of this church and other churches were full. We didn't have to worry about our Sunday school shrinking. I heard your teacher this morning say, well, there weren't very many kids here today. The biggest problem we had in the 60s and before that was, where do we find teachers for all these kids? And we see a lot of gray hair in the church today. I don't know what's happened to the young people. Maybe they have other issues, but I think it's been a paradigm shift. I think it's people are saying, well, you know, it's not important that I make every single Sunday. I can worship God on the golf course, or I can worship God in my boat cruiser down the river. I can worship God at my cottage or my cabin on the lake. The fallacy with that, dear friends, is obvious. The Lord wants us to be with Him and His people in church. But we've drifted. And we've drifted so far that we've watched a million plus babies be aborted in this country. We've watched mothers kill their children. We've watched children kill their parents, and all manner of evil. And the word says, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. Well, I don't know what your politics is, dear friends, but we've just gone through election. And I believe there's a false prophet. Wickedness will be multiplied. Men's love will grow cold. Men's love will grow cold. Because wickedness is multiplied. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And that's the good news today. I want to tell you and warn you that when Jesus comes, it'll come. He'll come in the twinkling of an eye, it says. That when he comes, it will be at a time when we're not thinking. And when he comes, he will come with a shout and with the trumpet, as we read in the word. And he will gather us together with him in the rapture, and we'll be with him. And it will happen just like that. And so, what's the point, Pastor? What's the point? The point is that we need to be ready. And how do we get ready? How do we get ready? Well, first of all, we need to continue doing what we're doing. We need to pray. We need to be open to prayer. We need to believe that prayer works. We believe and trust that prayer changes things. And we need to be diligent in prayer. And that we need to open ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God as He speaks to us. Don't shut Him off. If you're to serve in the church, don't say, well, I did that before. Do not weary in well-doing. Don't be concerned about a grocery list of what is you've already done. Don't be concerned about what others perceive you to be doing. You understand me? You with me? You get me? Okay. Be diligent in your devotion to the Lord. Because one day we'll answer to Him. And He'll say to you, why didn't you preach on Matthew 25? What else? There's only one commandment. There's only one rule. There's only one thing that we have to do. And that is that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Now that's an overarching, all-inclusive kind of a thing, but it calls you to forgiveness. And I tell you, in the church today, one of the biggest problems that we have is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. We are a people who love to blame. We like to find who to blame when something doesn't go wrong. Dear friends, that's the wrong way to think about it. We need to forgive. I remember my father-in-law was a staunch Norwegian from Stavanger. And he said, you can't be marry my daughter until you've taken instruction in the Lutheran church. I was grew up Methodist. I was a heathen. But my father-in-law said, you take instructions. Oh, yeah, I did. I went there. And I took instruction. And the pastor said, here's what we believe. You shall put the most favorable construction in all that your neighbor says and does, and interpret his actions and deeds in the kindest way. Anybody ever heard that before? Anybody know what that is? The most favorable construction and all that your neighbor says and does. That's out of the Luther Small Catechism, folks. That's the explanation to the Eighth Commandment. Okay. I never forgot that. And I realized that I was sadly, sadly mistaken. Because I kept track of people's wrongs. I counted sin against my neighbor. And I bore a grudge. Dear friends, if you want to be ready with your lamp burning, you need to repent and turn to Christ and ask Him to give you love. 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 I must warn you, I would be remiss if I didn't. I believe that we are indeed in the fullness of time. I believe with all of my heart that God will not continue to allow the murder of innocent babies, the murder of innocent people, the murder of innocent children, the hunger in this world, the tensions in this world will not go on indefinitely. And I warn you, in love, wake up. Wake up. Christ is near. Christ is near. Christ is near. That's why I didn't want to preach on Matthew 25. If you're too late, you're just too late. I don't like to be late. We're in your parking lot an hour before this service. If you're late, dear friends, you're just too late. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus wants us at his wedding feast. Our Lord Jesus loves us so much that he wants us to be ready. He wants us to be on time. Dear Lord, give us that heart. Help us to see what's really important in life. Help us to renew in us by your Spirit that commitment to Christ, that devotion to Christ, that love for Christ that overarches everything. Tune up our hearts, O Lord, and cause us to love you in a new and powerful way. Help us to meditate on you, Lord. Turn us toward you, Lord. Be in our getting up and our laying down. Help us to forgive as we have been forgiven. Help us to realize how important it is to love. And most of all, help us to be on time and not to be late. Bless this congregation. Bless Kent Sperry as he brings the word to this group of people. Bless each and every soul and family that they represent here. Encourage us, O Lord, and strengthen us. Give us your peace. Thank you, Father, that we're included. Thank you, Father, that we're going to go in to the wedding feast. Thank you, O God, that our love will not grow cold. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for allowing me to be here today. We're going to turn to hymn number 473. Please stand as we sing. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.